This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Māori to all our Kiribati listeners and welcome to everyone. Another week of Neat and Footy where we chat all things Pacifica talent in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is the Lewis Hamilton of the Neat and Footy world, Tinidar Arona. T, talk
kia
to
rana,
me.
Kia rana, talk to Sammy, me, Lewis Hamilton. It's, sorry, kia rana to all our listeners, but Lewis Hamilton, it's my looks.
Oh, is that, you're a good-looking rooster.
Like
Yeah.
Nah, I'd done a bit of go-karting over the weekend and posted a story while I was at the front of the line about to get on the track. Took a bit of a selfie and the rest of the riders behind me, and I learned a valuable lesson. Do not take your phone on the go-kart track because, yes, it fell out of my pocket. It was a brand new Samsung, and it was in pieces when I got off the track. So... I did enjoy it, yes, Lewis Hamilton, but don't take your phone on the track next time. Today's show, mate, we are in for a huge one. Now, Las Vegas, they kick off the NRL games in a few weeks. We also have next week the All-Stars game where the Indigenous All-Stars will take on the New Zealand Māori All-Stars. But we have one of our biggest stars on today's show. And we have none other than the great Payne Haas, who is only 24.
Only 24, probably the biggest name in rugby league alongside a fair few others. I am definitely looking forward to talking to him about his, you know, his journey. You know, of course, I'm going to try and get him over to rugby union on that hard-hitting question, but also around his faith. So stick around because that one's going to be an enjoyable one.
Moment of the week.
Yes, our moment of the week this week is a good one. And T, it is about you and our beautiful Shelley Long up there, the North Queensland Cowboys. Got sent an article from one of the boys, our good mate, Joseph Paulo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he sent me an article and I thought, oh, here we go. What's going on here? Bit skeptical to press the link, but... it was about yourself and what you're doing with the RLPA and the advisory group, the Pacifica Māori Advisory Group that you helped form, and trying to bring all the leaders in that space together so there's more consultation, more collaboration within the NRL and the clubs to ensure that everything's done with respect. And, Shelley was quoted saying that she was proud to be a part of the Mana Group, and it's established reflected the growth in the number of professional players from Māori and Pacifica communities and the need to better understand them. So it's a key part of building those relationships. Can you give us a little bit more about that and what you're doing there?
Yeah, so... in the NRL and NRLW, you know, it's just under 50% of the players are Māori and Pacifica backgrounds. And the Mana Group was formed last year and now is over at the RLPA, where myself and my colleague Nita Maynard, we are now helping to facilitate that group. The Mana Group, so... we come up with the name Mana, so there's not really actually a specific meaning to the word Mana, but everyone, like each culture, will have their own meaning to the word Mana. And to me, it means connection, it means power, and that's the purpose of this group, is to connect our players, our Māori and Pacifica players and leaders, and empower them, you know, but also doing it in a way where both NRL and the RLPA can facilitate in this group. And we just, it's all about empowering our game and our players within the NRL and the NRLW.
Yeah, beautiful work, T. But are there any other, like, big name leaders that you've been able to put into that group?
Yep. So you mentioned Shelley Long. In the males, we also have Junior Bolo from the Parramatta Eels, Torsai Moore captain, and the great James Fisher Harris.
Oh, he's in there.
So he's joined the group as well. And a few others, like some great leaders with some great influence, but mainly they have a strong passion for their people, for us players. And yeah, it's going to be a cool journey to be a part of.
Kia ora, my name is Kiana Takairangi and you are listening to Nation Footy.
So, Sammy, we've had enough of the rugby union starting.
I did notice that on the run
results
and on the run sheet.
Yeah, yous are now at the back of the bus because rugby league is about to kick off, and we have this weekend the All Stars game where the Indigenous will take on the Māori All Stars. Now, this game is Friday night in Townsville. There's a number of Pacifica athletes in this game. Now, I want to just touch on a couple within the Indigenous All-Stars game. We have Tor Samoa representative Hamiso Tawaifito and also the Tongan Kotoni Stags. They'll be representing the Indigenous All-Stars. And then in the Māori's team, every second player would probably have some Pacific links. But we have one of my Cook Island brothers who is set to take the stage, Xavier Willison. He plays for the Brisbane Broncos. He's a young lad still coming through the ranks. He's had a fair few, handful of NRL games, but you should see the size of this kid. He is huge. Was honoured to play with him for the Cook Islands, but he'll be putting on the Māori All-Stars jersey this weekend.
You know, there's not too many things I love about rugby league, but there's a couple of things I'm going to mention today. But in particular, the All-Stars and Māori All-Stars concept, the fact that all the players get to represent all their different cultures, you know, whether they play for Australia or New Zealand, then they get to play for Tonga or Samoa or Fiji, then they get to represent the Māoris or the Indigenous All-Stars. I think, like, you got, like, NRL, the rugby league game, they do it so well that you get the opportunities to do that. Like, is it the same feeling amongst the players that they're able to bounce around to so many different and have so many different experiences?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's important for all our players to be able to represent all their cultures and have that opportunity. And, you know, this is a great one to be a part of. You know, it's all about their culture, the Indigenous All-Stars and Māori All-Stars. You know, not only on the game and, you know, at that 80 minutes of footy, more so during the camp and the lead up into it, the amount of cultural workshops or their meetings that they have, them gatherings.
You're right. Yeah, it seems like that those workshops, those cultural workshops, allow those players to understand who they are as people, their identity, and essentially it just doesn't make them better footballers. It makes them better people because they understand their story. That's the best way that they can learn, and there's representation in that room, people who look like them, teaching them, and then that essentially they're going to benefit a hell of a lot beyond being a football player. So I think I'm with you. I think it's a great concept to be able to have those type of games. And it's also the women's game is on as well, the Māori All-Stars and, yep, and the Indigenous All-Stars in the women's game. Corbin Baxter is back as well playing for the Māoris. I think she'll be excited to see after having the birth of her baby, I think just over 12 months ago. So she's played last year for the Roosters and then now she gets to represent the Māoris again.
Yeah, it's the start of rugby league, kicks off. And then speaking of All-Stars, mate, over on the socials, we've had a few All-Star, what's it, personalities.
Yeah, Hollywood.
Promoted the game of rugby league. I'll start with Jordan Mailata, current NFL player. And he is over promoting the game of rugby league and crosses paths with The Rock.
I'm Jordan Mailata. How are you, brother? Samoan, Australian. Playing the NFL now.
NRL's coming down, coming over. I just want to get your thoughts on the ball. I don't know if you just watch rugby league.
Yeah, what's my thoughts?
Well, you ever feel the ball before? Like the
that's what's coming down under, man. That's what's coming over here.
March 2nd,
Legion Stadium. Come check it out.
Well, are you playing?
I'm not playing, not anymore, man. I play for the Birds.
Where are you from?
Australia, but I'm Samoan, man. Samoan. Parents are from Savatthi, so.
Nice.
Yeah, man, this is cool. It's a good moment.
What are you doing in the league now?
Play left tackle.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Play left tackle, man. Been here for going on my seventh year.
Great.
Yeah, I've been blessed.
How you been feeling?
Blessing.
Feeling good?
Football's hard, bro.
Oh, man, that's shut the gates. That's impressive.
A couple of the all swords over in America.
Yes.
Just talking a bit of footy. Also, UFC legend, John Jones. He visits the Bulldogs.
Message to all Bulldogs fans, stay on the right track. These guys are an awesome group of young men.
Woo! Yes, that was John Jones putting on a
a tackle, not a tackle, a huge not punching hit. Anyone. It was a tackle for all our listeners.
a tackle on one of the Bulldogs players, obviously with a pad. He was holding a pad, but he went straight through the Bulldogs player and
wow, yeah. You guys are really winning the Hollywood battle, aren't you? Like, it's impressive the fact that you've had Tom Brady last week, The Rock, John Jones, like Sonny Bill went up to Brisbane as well, just to name another one. I'm a little bit jealous, actually.
In other news, we have Tongan international Christian Tuipulotu. He has been granted a release from the Manly Seagulls to join St. George Illawarra Dragons on a two-year deal. Tuipulotu played 31 games for the Sea Eagles and scored 13 tries. So the Tongan winger joins Samoan Raymond Faitala Mariner as the latest recruits for the Red V St. George Illawarra Dragons.
But Rugby Union T, did you catch any of those games?
Absolutely not.
I thought you didn't. But hey, the preseason games continue as we count down to round one starting on the 23rd of February. The Brumbies, they had a tight win against the Western Force, 22-20. And from what I've seen, I think my old club, the Western Force, they're genuine smoky in this year's competition.
Are you just saying that or?
Nah, genuine. I think they've recruited well. I think they've got some good young players coming through the system, but I don't want to jinx them yet. So I don't want to go into too much detail about them, but I'll just leave it out there. They've had two really good games. Attacking footy, they seem to.
They didn't even win the game.
I know they didn't win. I'm just saying there's good signs. The way that they attacked.
How is it a good sign that they lost?
Shush, man. You didn't even watch your games.
Smoky,
anyway.
Smoky records.
But my other old club. I have a few old clubs. Yes, I do. The Waratahs. New South Wales Waratahs.
Lost as well.
They lost. They lost. It was 32-7 against the Queensland Reds up in Queensland in a little country town of Roma. Mate, there's genuine concerns there for the Waratahs. Yes. Wait,
fun fact, Roma, who was born in Roma? The great Artie Beetson.
Oh, is he from Roma? Oh, yes. I remember you told me that last week.
Yeah.
There we go.
Sorry for interrupting you.
Well, the breeding talent out there, some good players. Thanks, T. Where was I?
Reds 32, Waratahs 7. There we go.
32-7, but I think there's genuine worrying signs for the Waratahs. Like, this is the second week in a row they've leaked 25 points, and I don't know about you, T. You know, obviously you can say it's only a trial game. There's no points on the line, but when you think about what you want to get right, you want to probably get your defensive systems right and know that you're competing well there for every minute. Yes, you might not be polished, but surely that's what you'd be going into in a trial game, thinking, oh, we need to get our defense right.
Yeah, definitely. Well, even if it was an attack, they only scored one try. So,
and it wasn't
get something right.
Well, to be honest, it was a penalty try, so they didn't even actually score. It just looked like a lot of those players aren't singing from the same hymn sheet at all. They're not good signs, but hopefully they can turn it around. They've also got some good players. But the Reds, you know, to their credit, they look very organised in attack and defence. I think Les Kiss, their new coach, who is a leaguey, you know that, Les Kiss. And also, he's got their attacking options firing, especially from first phase attack. A lot of bodies in motion. They're playing with a good width. And one of their star players was Hunter Paisami. He's a Wallaby, Samoan heritage. He was a wrecking ball out there in the centres, and I feel like he has been doing a lot of beach weights in the off-season. Plenty of bicep curls, because his guns in the shirt was just popping out. A bit like myself. It's like, you know that vein that goes through the bicep?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a roadmap.
Oh, yeah.
Can you see it? No, you can't see it. Anyway, no. You get closer to me and you can see it.
It's a lie. But
he was outstanding in that game. And one of his tries that he did score was very Jonah Lomu-like. He was on the wing, received the last pass. Poor Joey Walton, the fullback for the Waratahs, copped every bit of his shoulder and everything. Steamrolled over him, scored in the corner. So he was outstanding in that game.
Did their new recruit play, Jeffrey Tomanga Allen?
No, I don't think he played that game. He might be still injured, but like he's come over from New Zealand.
From New Zealand, yes, ex All Black.
Yeah,
and trying.
They've got a lot of Pacifica talent. Nongor as well. There was Nongor, the PNG prop. He's been working closely with Jeff. But yeah, I think there's good signs for the Reds. They could be another Smokey.
How many Smokies, man?
Plenty of Smokies. Until round one kicks off, but we do get to round five, then we'll know who's the contenders and who's the pretenders on that. But some other great news for our Pacifica communities. We had Rob Valentini win the John Eales medal for the Wallabies best player from last season. Big Fijian number eight, so he was outstanding.
Oh, nice.
And I'm sure Shelley Long will mention these players, but we also had Eva Kapani win the Wallaroos best player, and Faitala Moleka won the junior Wallaroos best player. So some really good recognition there for our Pacifica talent. In the community, we've also had Bernard Tuamau and Nathan Maiava recognised for their contributions to grassroots footy. You know, Bernard Tuamau was one of the head figures for the Pacific Youth Cup here in Sydney, and he's a big driver to make sure that we have competitions like that from the grassroots leading into the senior footy, just and it's allowed them to celebrate, as we've seen already on the big stage, for the younger generation to do the same thing. So that's good news and good recognition for those two guys. As well, there was a story that broke with the Melbourne Rebels, you know, saying they might not be in the competition for Super Rugby next year. And then there was a leaked document, so-called leaked document, could have been a brainstorming session, who knows. So there's a lot of loose lips sink ships, I reckon, in the four walls of some organisations. But look, they said there was a possibility of the Rebels merging with Moana Pacifica. I mean, there's that chat there. I've got my own thoughts on that, but to be honest, I'm going to hold them until we get someone in who's probably more respected than us two here, to go through a bit more what that could look like, the pros and cons, because I think it's interesting to see how that could play out.
Nesian Footy.
Joining us each week, sharing all the women's footy news, we have the one and only PNG Orchids superstar and North Queensland Cowboys NRLW player, Shelley Long, with The Long Story Short.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Shelley, how are you? And what is new in your life? It's been a week, but what's happening over there with you?
Not too much has happened. Pre-season's in full effect. The start of the year, the school term is definitely back as well with the new job. I feel like I'm definitely a lot more relaxed, and I've fitted quite well into my position at school now. So I'm super excited to see how the year unfolds.
So you have some pretty good students in your year group then, so no headaches? No tinnerals that you can tell us about?
No, and no Sams either. It has been such an easy transition into this new role. I think the students love rugby league here. It is a rugby league school, so the relationships that I can build, obviously with a football background, has definitely helped. But I think as well, they get to see a female playing rugby league, and they get to see that within the school environment, which really, really makes an impact in that women's rugby league space at the school.
So are all your lessons based around rugby league chat? Like, is that what you and your students do all day, every day?
Oh, I bet you they wished that they could talk about footy every day. But I do a lot of the sports academies. I do take some maths classes. Some poor kids I've stitched up, given them the wrong answers in maths class. Sorry to you kids.
Well, that is amazing. And look, at the end of the day, there's this thing called a calculator, Siri, and ChatGPT, where you can find everything you need.
All right, let's move from the schoolyard to the footy field. Shelley, is there any news around the NRLW world?
Well, Sam, you're going to be disappointed with my first signing for today.
No, it's not from uni. Union. Don't tell me it's from Union.
It is from Union. Oh, and another code crosser. So Black Ferns representative and proud Māori woman Pia Tapsell has signed with Cronulla for the 2024 season and 2025 season. Another buy from Rugby Union. I'm definitely excited to see her excel within the rugby league space, and it will be interesting to see if she continues to play Rugby Union prior to relocating to Cronulla for the NRLW season.
Yes, Sammy, we have another one.
That's great news for the Sharkies. I'm sure Tiana and Kiana will be very happy about that signing, having a Black Fern within their ranks. What else do you have for us there as well in NRLW?
So China Pilata, proud Tongan woman, co-captain of the Tongan squad, will remain at home with the Cowboys until 2025. After starting as wing in the season of 2023, Pilata made her way into the front row. So she's an incredible utility player to remain at home with the Cowboys. Along with China, Malila Sua, teenage powerhouse forward, was upgraded into the top 24 squad for the 2024 season alongside Titans player and Māori workhorse and up-and-coming forward Matikino Gray. So they'll both remain at the Titans in that top 24 squad now.
We're going to switch over to Rugby Union now. You've already given me some news, which was, okay, fair enough. It is what it is. It keeps happening nearly every day. But what do you have for us on the Rugby Union front?
So Rugby Australia Awards took place on Thursday night. Across the night, it recognised several standout players throughout the season within both the 15s and 7s aside. In those awards, Eva Kapani took out Wallaroos Player of the Year for 2023, a true reflection on an incredible season that she has had with the Wallaroos last year. With her barging carry, she was absolutely amazing. I'm not too sure if you guys happened to see, but last year, a few of her tries were just off really strong carries close to the line, and she was unstoppable. So a well-deserved reward for Eva Kapani.
Yeah, she was outstanding in those last couple of test matches for the Wallaroos.
Yeah, and hopefully after winning this award, it just makes her want to keep working hard and keep driving for that success that she's tasted now, but she's a great addition to the Wallaroos squad, so I'm hoping that she can stay there within that squad. But along Eva Kapani, proud Samoan and mother Cecilia Smith took out Super W Player of the Year, along with 19-year-old fly half and fullback Faitala Mulika was the 2023 inaugural Junior Women's Player of the Year. It is crazy what she has achieved. Only 19 years of age, already debuted for the Wallaroos, has had an incredible season. I think she was at the Brumbies.
Yeah, she's down there with the Brumbies. Yep.
Prior to debuting for the Wallaroos. And I mean, 19 years of age, you're working, you've got uni. I know, like, as a female athlete, especially in those younger years, it is so hard to manage that juggle. So she's done such a great job.
Yeah, she's outstanding. One for the future for sure. Pretty much wasn't even in the Brumbies top 30 or whatever they have down there. Had a couple of trial games, impressed, then started round one and just, yeah, took it from there. And then from that moment, she made her debut for the Wallaroos in that same year. So she's achieved so much.
Oh, incredible. And along with Faitala Mulika, on Saturday night, Super W Reds' first Waratahs trial game was played. Samoan Australian and 16-year-old Shalom Sao'oso showed plenty of talent and definitely made herself a player to keep an eye on. She will certainly be a star in the future and has already achieved so much within her playing career. Shalom has achieved the Best and Fairest Award in the Global Youth Sevens at the Gold Coast, and she has also been awarded Best Player Award in New Zealand when playing for Australia in the Under-18 Sevens team.
She is all class. I think she's with the Titans set up as well for league, so she's playing both. And she was playing in the midfield. Like, I couldn't believe that she was only 16 years of age. Like, she is built fast, strong, has everything you want in a rugby union player, in a contact sport. And I just couldn't give her the fact that she was 16 years of age mixing it up against, you know, fully grown women.
That's incredible. And even as a 16-year-old, she has so much more to grow in both codes. And hopefully, you know, as a league background, I really hope she comes over to us if she's in that maybe Titan system, but definitely someone to watch. Atasi Lafai also had a strong performance in the trial game with her strong ball carries, early arrival and shifting bodies around the breakdown. She'll definitely be someone to watch throughout the season.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's all happening. Love this time of the year. But Shelley, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Shelley. Always appreciate you. We will see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Always looking forward to the Monday chat.
Culture Shock.
Yeah, nice. I don't mind that. That brought a smile to my face. Gee!
I like the drums too.
You like the drums?
Definitely Cook Islanders.
Nice. Yeah, it wouldn't be Wouldn't be the Tongans, that's for sure. But culture shock.
Yes.
Here it is. The new segment in 2024. I would say it got off to a shaky start from the both of us. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Honest feedback?
Yeah, maybe. But it is going to be. I think this will be one of the favourites.
Yeah.
Throughout the year, where we dive into different cultures in the Pacific. And yeah, we might have got off to a shaky start, but
what did I forget again?
I did
the first week. Oh no, I didn't forget. It was my counting.
It was your that's counting.
Right. That's right. And you forgot the kahoa lolly.
Why? It was in my fridge.
I was
and
in the
I
fridge.
Did promise you that I would bring you.
Yes,
the lolly lay. So I'll let you explain a little bit about it. The visuals.
You did bring it in. Well done, T.
So they've been in my fridge for 2 weeks. Luckily, the lollies and chocolate will not go off.
Yep. Well, they won't have time to because I'll be eating them.
But you can dive into that one once we finish the show. But I am a man of my word. And he's put it around his neck. There it is.
I've put it. Usually someone else puts it around the neck for you because you've achieved something special. But I'm just going to do it for myself because I can see the effort that you went to, T. I will be definitely eyeing out the boost chocolate. So... well done. Okay.
And, so what was the challenge?
This the challenge was for you to bring in a instrument.
Instrument.
Instrument from the Cook Islands and give us or a bit of background.
Not only the Cook Islands, like the anywhere in the Pacific.
Anywhere in the Pacific.
I was thinking of a number of different instruments. The pate, which is a drum. But my mum actually messaged me early in the week and she said the conch is at home. And I'm like, the conch? What's the conch?
I'm looking at you, what's a conch?
Can you tell me what it... And it was the also known as the seashell horn or the shell trumpet. So
okay.
I have brought into the studio this big...
Oh, you've actually brought one in.
Yes, a big seashell horn. Now, I actually had a good chat with my father and asked, you know, what do they use this for? They said it's, or he said it was, they use it for a number of different reasons, a welcoming, calling, chief's titles, openings to ceremonies. And I also seen on the internet in Fiji when the chiefs died, the chief's body would be brought down a special path and the conch would be played until the chief's body reached the end of the path.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have come prepared.
To now...
give it a crack.
The hard thing is here is to blow it because I've spent all week trying to blow this thing and my wife has been laughing at me. And last night was actually quite funny where my two sons, obviously they spend a lot of time at Mama and Papa's house. They just pick the thing up and start blowing it and it works. So,
is it the lips like a trumpet, like the same way you got to do it? Like the...
Well, there's a little horn here. I'll have a crack. I'm not sick, so you can have a turn after me.
I wasn't going to wipe it off anyway. It doesn't matter. All right, that's so how close we are.
Ready? I knew this was going to happen.
It sounds like something else, but...
Wait, hold on.
no, to be honest...
Just give me... Keep giving it...
Why are your eyes going red?
Oh, this is hurting my soul.
So we're just going to stay here all day till you get it right?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, nah. You know what?
It's all right to relax. You know, if you've had a crack, don't be too hard on yourself.
Do you want to try?
Yeah, give us a go.
All right, let me wipe all the spit off it.
I played the trumpet back in school.
Left hand.
How do you, where did, so is that?
So that hole there, yeah, blowing there. There, yeah. I wish I could teach you how to. Wow.
Moana.
Oh, that's good.
I'm just going to leave it at that. Oi, that was first crack.
I know.
What are you doing with your lips?
My lips are too big.
Well, T, can outstanding.
Give us another blow.
Nah, I'm going to leave it like that. Nah. Anyways, next week.
Next week. You have been moving houses. And I keep hearing about the Tongan mats that you have to move. Are they your mother-in-law?
Yeah, mother-in-law. She's got like the ngatu, the mats from floor to ceiling in so many parts of the house. Like even under the mattresses, under the rugs.
Ooh,
it's so there everywhere. So
I want you to bring one into studio and give us a bit of a background story.
Well, hold you there. I can't bring in a big one. Like, it's massive. Like, it's going to roll out, but I can bring in a smaller one. I'll do that for you, and I'll give you a bit of history around that. I need to ask my mother-in-law to sit down with her and get some information on
it. I'm going to go and practice blowing into the shell.
Yeah, you keep practicing that while we get our next guest ready, Big Pain Haas.
Let's go.
Hey, everyone. Alex Johnson here from the PNG Kumuls, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. You're here with Nation Footy.
Well, Sammy, this is probably one of the biggest stars that we've had on Nation Footy, not only by his reputation, but also the size of the man.
He's a big man, isn't he? He's massive.
He has played over 100 NRL games for the Brisbane Broncos. He's four-time Daily M Prop of the Year, played for both New South Wales and Australia, and he is only 24 years old.
24.
I want to introduce to everyone listening to Nation Footy, the one, the only, Payne Haas.
Payne, yes.
Thank you for joining us here on Nation Footy, brother.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, let's get it.
We appreciate it, bro. Firstly, I just want to start with, obviously, Samoan Swiss-Filipino background. You know, my mum is from Tonga, a small tiny island over there. My dad's from a small country town in New South Wales, population of 200. I still don't know how they met. Do you know how your parents met to produce someone as big as you?
Bro, it's a crazy story, to be honest. My dad was born in Switzerland, and he grew up there till he was about eight. And my mum was born in New Zealand, so I'm on the same boat as you. I don't know how that came about, but I'm here now, so I don't know how that came about, to opposite side of the world, and I don't know.
Do you know much about your cultures, like what villages or where you're, whereabouts you are from?
Yeah, so my grandma, my grandfather and my mum, so I was both from Samoa, and my grandma's from Lauli'i, and my grandfather's from Savai'i. So, yeah, I'm pretty tight with my Samoan side and all that kind of side. And I don't know much about my European side, to be honest. And
yeah, that's beautiful. So even the way you pronounce all the Samoan, the villages and stuff, like, it comes across pretty natural. Like, can you speak Samoan?
No, I can't speak it, but I understand a bit of it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I think just being around my grandfather a bit and my grandma, so yeah, just been around that kind of culture a lot. I grew up around it with my mum and stuff, so yeah.
Did you grow up in a big family? Is there many, do you have many siblings?
Yeah, I've got seven brothers and three sisters, so yeah, big household, big food bill for my mum and dad, so.
That's huge.
So where do you sit within that seven? What number are you in that seven?
I'm third oldest, so I've got two older brothers and all the rest are younger than me, so pull them into line. So it's good. Used to bully them. So
that actually makes a lot of sense. Probably the way you play the game. The two oldest, I'm assuming they would have, you know, roughed you up, and you would have had to handle your own. And then the others come along, then you would have had to lead them. Is that how it played out?
Yeah, my older brother Jonah. Dad used to make him run straight at me and all that when we were younger, and used to get bumped off all the time. So I feel like that made me who I am, and I got to do it to my little brothers, especially Clay. So.
So you got your little brothers playing footy as well?
Yeah, so Cleese's at Titans at the moment. Played a few first grade games now, and yeah, it's pretty cool for the family. Obviously, I'm in NRL and he's in it too. And had my uncle Marky played NRL as well, so we just followed his footsteps. So it's good.
Obviously, amongst the general public, people see you as global sensation. Probably people coming up to you all the time for autographs and stuff like that. But within your own family, like your younger brothers and stuff like that, like how do they go about, you know, dealing with their brother being a superstar within the game?
I'm not sure. I feel like I've got a pretty good family. They keep me grounded, and you know, just like them, to be honest, in this household. And we all treat each other the same, and yeah, all mock each other. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I don't know.
How do you, you know, I want to talk about a bit about your representation on the footy field now. And when you do play for, you know, Australia and New South Wales, how is it that you represent your Samoan culture as well at the same time?
I'm not sure. I feel like I carry my family with me when I run onto that field, and yeah, especially with my culture, my Samoan side. There's lots of Samoans who back me, and I feel like I carry them as well. And yeah, every time I step on the field, they're stepping on there with me. So yeah.
Yeah, that's cool to hear. Going off that, like, as much as I love players putting their hand up and, you know, to play for Tonga, Samoa, Fiji, I actually really respect and love the ones that decide to play for Australia or New Zealand as well. Like, how do you decide between two fantastic, you know, options? Like, do you talk with someone? Is there a checklist? Is it just a gut feeling? Like, what was your process?
I feel like now it's a bit hard. I've had some thoughts about playing for Samoa and stuff, and yeah, it is pretty hard because I want to honour my grandmother and my grandfather, but at the end of the day, Australia gave my family opportunity to come over here, and yeah, I feel like, yeah, play for Australia, that's my number one goal in footy, and at the moment, I'm very grateful I get to do that, and I don't know, it's pretty hard at the moment now with all the Samoa boys going over, Remy and all that, but I think it's pretty cool, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Nice.
What are you thinking, actually, when you're standing in front of the Tua Samoa team? If you're doing that face-off, is it, "Father, those are my cousins, those are my boys, those are my brothers," or is it, "All right, let's go.
We're on.
We're on."
I think the one, just what happened recently where Vizza came up to my face, I feel like that was probably the hardest for me to verse Samoa, especially, you know, I heard the national anthem go, and yeah, I feel like that was probably the hardest game to verse Samoa, and my uncle was the water boy for the Samoa as well, and
I feel like
it was just he's weird. I seen him and he's behind Nessie Patola and all that, and I'm just like, bro, this is so weird right now, but I feel like I clicked in the gear after that was done, and it was just footy at the end of the day. So,
man, I love you. Hey, Uncle, did he give you any water? Did he spray water on you before as he ran past you or anything like that just to try and get you off your game?
Nah, he didn't even look at me. So he didn't talk to me or nothing. I know, I think it was just an honour to verse Samoa and, you know, to face that silver toll and seeing how much it meant to all them boys. It gave me goosebumps watching it. So, yeah.
Speaking of our Pacifica brothers that are the athletes and footy players, you know, when it comes to Samoa, there's not many that are bigger than this one bloke, the big Sonny Bill Williams. And we noticed that he came up to you, he was there with you guys over the weekend or last weekend. Tell us a bit about your guys' relationship and how he's helped mentor you.
Yeah, Sonny's someone I hold close to my heart, to be honest. And you know, I've had some struggles and he's always the first one there when I'm going through some stuff. And especially with our faith, he's always making sure following that path, and got lots of time for Sonny, and really respect him as a brother.
You mentioned some of the struggles or the external noise that happens. One thing I really admire is the way you handle pressure, the way you don't let that external opinions, whether good or bad, affect the way you play. Like someone like Sonny, what's been his best advice to be able to help you stay pretty much consistently great week in, week out?
Yeah, I think just not worrying about what happened in the past and don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. You know, you can't control what's going to happen, and just worry about being in the present and being there, what's happening right now. And that's me talking to you guys right now and enjoying this, you know, being on this podcast. So, yeah.
That's cool.
I remember when we were at the Roosters and he would walk in to the room, he just brings this aura about him, and it's like, man, Sonny's in the room. And he doesn't even have to do anything. He's just walking in with his training bag. So.
Right, when we played against him for the Western Force against the Crusaders when he first came over, and I was the first one, like, you know, shaking. We lost. Went over, shook his head, like, "Hey, man," and our captain sprayed me. He goes, "Stop treating him like a fan." I was like, "Oh, you don't understand, bro."
Yeah. It was like the boys last week. He came up to us and you see Reece Walsh and Brendan Piccolo and all that. Yeah, they just froze and just went silent. It's just crazy what he brings into the room. And yeah, it's pretty cool to see.
I know you're still growing and developing as a young man as well and learning off some of the great mentors like Sonny. Are you in a position now, or are you looking at now leading the next person?
Yeah, I feel like I've taken on more of a leadership role at our club, especially at the Broncos, and it's something I've been trying to work on the last few years. And yeah, just trying to help these boys. You know, I've had my challenges and I know what it takes, you know, to be a good footy player. And I feel like if I can pass some of my knowledge on to these young boys, I feel like I can help them out a lot.
Again, with Sonny Bill being of Muslim faith, yourself of being Muslim faith as well, was that something that was practiced as a family in the household growing up, or did you convert over a little bit later on?
Yeah, I converted later on, and I feel like my older brother, he turned Muslim, and you know, I started reading into Islam a lot when he converted over, and yeah, I started falling in love with the religion, and yeah, now, 6 years now being a Muslim, and yeah, I haven't looked back since. It's been a blessing. So, yeah.
That's beautiful, man. Did you get a reaction from your family? You know, if they come up in a different faith, I'm guessing Christianity. Did you get that reaction from your Samoan family as well?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It was when I did tell some of my family, obviously they looked at me a bit differently. Oh, Muslim, what's going on here? But they understood, and I feel like I'm more told them about Islam. They reacted different, so it was good.
I remember watching Sonny Bill play a game. I think it was back in 2014 with the Roosters. It was a day game. It was pretty warm, and it was during Ramadan. And he was still one of the best players on the park. Like I think he led the run meters, still killed it. And they were saying that he was sucking on his saliva, you know, to try and keep himself hydrated.
Yeah.
You know, for yourself, like, how do you manage that period? Because if that's me, my mind isn't bulletproof enough to be able to say, man, I'm hungry, I need water, I'm done. Like, how do you bulletproof your mind to just stay, okay, this is what it's about?
Yeah, I feel like for us Muslims, it's a bit easier for us because, you know, we're doing it for a cause, and we got kids in Africa and stuff, and there's kids in the Middle East who, you know, they don't got the resources like what we got, and makes us more grateful. And I feel like we're powered by God during Ramadan, and I feel like, yeah, that gives us a strength. You know, we believe in God and we're doing it for God. So, yeah.
Love it, bro. That's beautiful, man. Now we're going to talk a bit about rugby, NFL and league. So last year, me and Sammy on our show, we had a segment, cross-code poaching, and your name always came up because Sammy wanted to, you know, obviously steal you from rugby league and bring you to rugby union.
When is that happening, by the way?
No, wait.
Oh, it's not, sorry.
My question, mate. It's my question.
Sorry, I'm not even going to interject. Sorry, mate.
He was confused on what position do you think you would play if you were forced, and I know you don't want to, but we're forced to head over to old mate's game over here, rugby union.
I feel like I've played a bit growing up, and I feel like number eight, I always like playing. So
when you're saying winger?
See, I told you, no, I said number eight.
You said winger.
No, I think a lot of players will want to cross over and play midfield, but I think with Payne's physical dominance, presence, like, he would be a great number eight. Like, you think of Jerry Collins, Dota Gifu. That's Payne. So on that, was there, again, I'm not here to create headlines or anything and spook the media world, but like, was there genuine interest in going to rugby union, like through Eddie Jones or someone knocking on your door to say, hey, would you entertain the thought of coming over?
There was a bit of chatter last year during all that contract stuff, but yeah, I actually couldn't talk to anyone until November 1 of that year. So I know there was some interest, and I know one day I do want to go over to rugby, but we'll see when that happens. But
please be our knight in shining armour.
Yeah, there's some hope there. There's some hope. As you've seen, as you know, the Super Bowl's on today as well. NFL, anyone poached you or tried to have that conversation about bringing you over or taking you over to the NFL game?
Yeah, I got asked when I was grade 12 in school to go over and do college. Got a few offers from colleges when I was in grade 12, but yeah, I just love league too much. And I wanted to stay and love my family too much.
Damn, that's huge.
Did you reach out to like someone like Jordan Mailata just to have a chat about what it's like to play in the NFL? Did those conversations ever come about?
No, I've never spoken to Jordan, but I have versed him, but he made his debut in 20s, and I remember seeing this massive guy around here, and I'm just like, I'm big and this guy's towering over me, so I'm like, what the hell is going on? it's pretty cool to see another quality brother making it like how he has, and basically come from nothing as well, and he's a millionaire now, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's about 60 million in that
Man,
one.
He's rubbing shoulders with The Rock these days.
Yeah, that's all right.
Are you a fan of any other sports?
Yeah, I actually love sport. I love my boxing a lot. My grandfather was a boxer growing up, so I feel like, yeah, I was probably born into it and being around the gym and stuff and just watching heaps of boxers. So I feel like, yeah, boxing's, my whole family love watching it, and family's full of boxers. So.
Or you're not going to go down the TPJ, Tevita Pangai Jr.'s route and take up boxing?
No. I'll stick to my lane and just be good at footy.
just do both like the other ones, you know, bit of the here, bit of there.
I
want to go back to actually your schoolboys highlights, you know, talking about big men, you know, and stuff like that. I remember seeing this clip of you coming off the back fence. You've bumped off two straight away. You're running down the sideline. Someone's coming across from behind. You've pretty much stopped and turned to go bump him off. And then you kept going. Like, you could have just kept going straight and let him be, but you wanted to just turn. Have you ever said sorry to that bloke? Or has he ever come up to you and said, hey, I'm that guy you bumped off?
No, actually, like I was talking smack the whole game, so I just wanted to bump him off.
I knew there had to be a reason.
I turned back and just bumped him off. So I'm like, yeah, no, so I was talking too much smack today.
Okay, well, yeah, that guy isn't, yeah, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed then. What an idiot.
Speaking of other players, all right, we're going to go with which other Pacifica player in the NRL, not at the Broncos, would you like to play with and why?
Oh, there's so many good ones. I feel like Stephen Crichton would be a cool one to play with. I'll play with him in Origin, but I feel like week in, week out, I feel like being in Origin, I know he's footy IQ and, yeah, you see all the big moments he wins in games. And, I feel like he's one player would be cool to play with week in, week out.
Cridler brings a lot of NO as well, too. Seems like he just doesn't have an off switch. It's just always on, and then even more on as he get closer to the game.
So, yeah, he's good for the team. I think being in New South Wales camp, just seeing what he brings, and he brings that energy for the boys and always bring them up for training.
What about the person you love coming up against the most, or where you know you need to be on, like this player's not going to get over me this game, or if he does, I need to spark my team up? Like, who is that player that you probably love coming up against the most?
Yeah, I feel like I've got lots of respect for these. There's actually two players I've got lots of respect for, and that's James Fisher-Harris and Moses Solio. I feel like I love those and them guys, and yeah, I feel like they bring the best out of me.
Well, we didn't want to touch on the grand final, but you mentioned the two boys, so now we're going to bring it up. It's been what, 5 months now? Has the fire in your belly, ready to go again this season? Ready to get another crack at it? And have you gotten over, last year's grand final, and how was that process?
Yeah, I feel like it was a hard one to take, that grand final. I didn't watch it for a couple months until this year, actually, when we went back into training. So Kevin made us, when we all got back in first day of training, and made us re-watch the whole game, and that was probably good for us, and just put it to bed and, just focus on this year now. So, yeah, can't wait for this year, and we'll see what happens.
What's it like when you review a grand final? Like, I've heard a lot of players, because it's the last game of the year, they just leave it behind, like, stuff it, will start fresh. I don't want to go even into it. But when you sit there as a team and you review it, you obviously know the result, the occasion of it, how you prepare for it. Like, what's it like to sit down there with your teammates and review it?
Yeah, I feel like the hardest thing of that was knowing that, we had that game, and just watching that last bit, that really hurt. And yeah, it's just hard to talk about because, you just feel like, we just had it one hand on the trophy and we just let it slip. So what can you do? It's all done. They played it. Nathan Cleary killed it at the end there, and hats off to him and his team. They got it done, so.
Yeah, nice. I sort of finished on some food. Obviously, like, which, you've got Samoan food, then you've got the Swiss dessert. Actually, I don't even know what Swiss food is, or besides the chocolates. And obviously got the Filipino. Like, do you like to dabble in all three of them? Do you stick to one side? Like, which sort of do you prefer?
No, I love my Islander food, to be honest. I've got to stay away from it because I smash it too much in the wall and stuff. So, I love Islander food heaps.
Do you put on a fair bit of weight easy?
Yeah, I'm so bad with weight. I think I've got them poly jeans. I breathe and I just put on weight. So, I'm trying to stay away from eating too much. So.
Well, at least you're tall and it like evens out, bro. I'm like short, so when we put on weight, we just start going the other way. So, is there any specific Samoan food that you enjoy?
Yeah, I think I love luau. Yeah, it's my favorite. That's what I smash the most.
I love that, bro. Hey, honestly, from all of us here at Nesian Footy, we really appreciate your time coming on here and sharing a bit about your journey and some of the ups, some of the downs. How you stay present. To keep focusing on the job at hand, to stay consistently great. So we wish you all the best for the upcoming seasons. Hopefully we can see you in green, gold, blue, doesn't matter what jersey, but just keep doing your thing. So much love to you and your family, and hopefully we get to chat again sometime soon.
Thank you, my brothers. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Love also. Thank you.
Nesian Knowledge.
T, we've got Nesian Knowledge. Here we go. And I'm up 2.5 points to 0, T.
Three questions, one from the past, one from the present, and one out the box.
Okay, here we go. It's my turn here. I'm going to play a clip for you.
In our team, who do you reckon be the worst fella to take fishing?
That's Latrell Mitchell from the South Sydney Rabbitohs talking about fishing.
Yes.
And who he wouldn't take with him, or sorry, him and Jack Wyden, he'll come into it soon, who they wouldn't take fishing, is a Samoan player. And I want you to tell me who that Samoan player is that they wouldn't take.
Hey, is this? I don't know if this counts. Needs your knowledge.
Yeah, it does.
Samoan. Okay, I'm going to go with, there's a lot of Tongans in that team.
Yeah, go, that's what
you
I mean.
Havili, you got David.
But
Moali.
I need a Samoan. That's a hint. Normally, you wouldn't even give me a hint.
No, like I don't need a hint.
Who have you got?
I'm going Michael Cheekham.
I think Cheekham, I don't know, he'd go out there with seasickness and he might get upset with the smell of fish and that kind of stuff. So I'll say Cheeky too.
Yes.
There it is, Cheekham. Well done.
He, I think he's one of maybe one or two Samoans in the team.
Yeah, there's not many in there. That's why I wanted to. So, yes, it related back to Nisha knowledge because there's not many Samoans.
Oh, it's a great question. Great question. I'm on
the board. You got it right.
I'm on the board.
He's
there
off.
It is. One.
One. Perfect. Okay, this one's interesting. I dug deep into the archives for this one. Do you remember the Adelaide Rams?
The Adelaide Rams rugby union team?
See, you don't even know your history. The Super League team.
96,
97, 98, wherever, back in the day.
I was actually playing rugby union then. Yeah. So,
The Adelaide Rams Super League team signed a Fijian player from Bradford Bulls in 1997. This player, ironically, shares the same first and last name as former Fijian drawer back rower. I'll give you a clue. Common knowledge when people use this term, smoking before their first name. Yeah, so like smoking Tinerell, smoking Sam, or like, you know what I mean? But it's mainly used for first name in particular. And we've spoken about him before on the show. He's killing it. I've used Smokey a lot on the show today, actually.
Smokey. Oh, I know who the player is.
Smoking.
I'm going to say Sam. But it's probably wrong. Yeah. Is it Vanicolo?
Nah, it's not Vanicolo. You don't go smoking Vanicolo, that's for sure. Like it's smoking Joe Tamani. Remember Joe Tamani played for Bradford Bulls, Fijian?
Oh, no.
There you go. Well, there's my history question. Nothing. Dirty about that question? You didn't like it?
Smoking Joe.
Smoking Joe. Surely you've heard the term smoking Joe.
I don't know. Next one.
All right. Well, it's NFL.
Super Bowl.
That's the one. That's
the Chiefs have just won the Super Bowl.
I want you to. Do you know what the width of an NFL field is compared to an NRL field? Because there's a lot of chat around being smaller, both length and width. But do you know what the width is of
an NFL field? Oh, my days. What are you doing to me? Is there a range?
Nah.
No range. So you have to get it on the money.
No.
And because they do yards, we do meters.
No, but it's meters. So do meters. Well, do you know what the rugby league field is, the width?
Yes.
What is it?
68.
68 meters. Okay. Well, it's shorter than 68 meters.
Yeah.
So guess it. It's what we're here for.
60.
No. 48 meters.
48 meters?
48 meters.
Is the NFL field.
There you go.
Lucky it was out the box, otherwise I would have wrenched you there.
Well, you got 1 point, T, so it's 2.5 points, 2-1. And that is our time up today on Nisian Footy. Remember, you can listen anytime to previous episodes or chats with some of your favourite Pacifica athletes wherever you get your podcasts. Mate, tune in.
We are lucky we have Payne Haas on the show.
Oh, you blowing your trumpet was really good. Hello, what's it called again?
Conch.
Yeah, you're really good at that.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.